I greet you this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to welcome each one of you here and a special welcome to our visitors. May you feel at home here. We thank you for joining us. May we all be encouraged this morning as we look into God's Word. May God's Word speak to our hearts and may our desire be to obey Him in everything. Psalm 33. Verse 1, the psalmist says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely or beautiful for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. May God speak to us as we look into his word this morning. This morning I want to continue in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, or start, I guess, chapter 3. To give you a little background, as we've been going through the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul, he started this church, and he was only there a short time, and they were forced to leave, and these young believers, they were being persecuted, and many of them thought, or they were told that they were currently in the day of the Lord, and the Apostle Paul, he seeks to continually teach them about truth from God's Word. And as we go into chapter 3 this morning for my text, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, my text will be verses 1 to 5. Before we read my text, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you that your mercies are new every day. And Lord, I thank you for your great love for us. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit. May you again teach us this morning from your word. And Lord, I pray that our response would be obedience to you. Father, I pray that you would speak to each one. I thank you for each one who's come. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Apostle Paul, he considered it his duty to emphasize the importance of prayer as he established the churches wherever he went. The Thessalonian epistles, they reveal how he prayed, and they also urge his followers to do likewise. Paul's prayers, if you study his prayers, they overflow with thanksgiving and praise for the Thessalonian church. And they emphasize how believers should live out their faith in total commitment to God through prayer. Now, in these opening five verses, the Apostle Paul, he focused, actually him and his missionary team, they focus on prayer. Paul's prayers were specific, often brief, with a sense of urgency and a heartfelt burden. He did instruct Christians to pray for all men, for kings and people in authority, according to 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. And the Apostle Paul, he knew that if his ministry were to be spiritually effective, prayer would have to be of great importance. Because without it, he would be depending on his own strength. The Apostle hoped the church would wholeheartedly intercede in prayer for him and his team. And he expected the believers reading this epistle to the Thessalonians would follow his pattern of prayer in their own lives. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching or concerning you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. May God bless the reading of his word. The Apostle Paul, he knew that without the prayers of people and direction from the Holy Spirit, his ministry would not be effective. That holds true for any servant of the Lord. If God is not steering and guiding the ship, it is headed for shipwreck. And the Apostle Paul, he was well aware of that. And that is why he constantly looked to God for direction. And he also asked the people to pray for his ministry. He says in verse 1 here, says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Don't ever be too prideful to ask for prayers. Prayer says something about your heart. Prayer changes things. As I said earlier, Paul knew the importance of fellow believers and their intercessory prayer. And Romans 15 makes that clear. Romans 15, verse 30 and 31 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and you may be refreshed." It is clear, Paul knew that he couldn't go on without prayer. The spreading of the gospel was God's work, and its reception among those who heard it was a result of God preparing hearts. The Thessalonians, they knew from their experiences how God works in people's hearts to prepare them for the gospel, so they could pray with conviction that God would speak to them. Return with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. When Paul prayed for these Thessalonian believers, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." And then he talks about how they were how they had joyful hearts and how they were spreading the gospel and how God's word was working in and through them. Verse 3, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." And listen to verse 5. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." And he says in verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost." There's evidence here that they were genuine, these Thessalonian believers. They received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on to say in verse 7, "So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread abroad." I love what it says after that, "so that we need not to speak anything." These Thessalonian believers, they were an incredible example to those around them. God's word was speaking to them, was teaching them, and they were sharing it with others. Paul says in my text in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, He says, finally, brethren, pray for us. And then he goes on to say that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. That the word of the Lord may have free course. Why is it so important? The word of God as Psalm 19 says, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God's word is truth. God's word is perfect. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing or piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is powerful. Paul prayed that the word of God would have free course through these believers. In Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. The word of God convicts. The word of God guides. The word of God instructs us. It shows us the way that we should walk. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is the incorruptible seed, according to 1 Peter 2, 22 and 23. I understand the phrase free course means that God's word would spread rapidly and run freely. If you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah 55, God has promised that his word would be free and accomplish what he wants. Isaiah 55, starting at verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That is a promise from God. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. How do you see God's word? Is this just some book? No, this book is amazing that we have in our hands. God's word is truth. Over 40 some authors wrote these books, 66 books, over a period of 1,500 plus years, and everything fits together. God is faithful. When we look at Isaiah 55:11, God has promised that his word will not come back empty. As with many of God's promises, we are expected to take this promise in faith and in prayer that God would receive all glory. Paul specifically prays that the word of the Lord would run freely as it already had. Turn with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Speaking of the word of God. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. There's incredible power in the word of God. Acts 12, 24. Acts 12, 24 says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God grew and multiplied. The very next chapter, Acts chapter 13, verses 44 to 49. Acts chapter 13. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. It's amazing when you read of God's word, how when people hear it, they tell others, and how God's word spreads. Go back to my text in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. Paul goes on, he says, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Paul also prays for protection and deliverance from their enemies. He asks for deliverance from the unreasonable or the foolish and the wicked men. What we see in the Thessalonian church and their struggles is also a picture of what we see today. Not all have faith. There are many who try to deceive and distort the gospel. You can read of that all through its scripture. The Bible teaches us that the enemy walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When Jesus was speaking with the Jews in John 8:44, he says to them, you are of the father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is an enemy of the gospel. Satan is always trying to put a roadblock in God's plans. But we know that Satan is not all-knowing. According to 1 Corinthians 2:8, had Satan known God's plans, he would not have crucified our Lord of glory. But he didn't know God's plan. Satan thought he had defeated God's plan by killing Jesus. But it was all part of God's plan before the foundation of the world. It was a hidden mystery which God ordained before the world, unto our glory. First Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. These evil and wicked men were Paul's enemies at Corinth, where he ministered when he wrote. They were perverse. They were aggressively unrighteous in their opposition to him and the gospel. And we know that Paul often experienced beating and imprisonment, and many trying to destroy his ministry. We go on to my text in verse 3. It says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. I love this fact. God is faithful. He changes the topic from not all men have faith to the fact that God is faithful. Paul tells these Thessalonian believers that God is faithful. This doesn't mean that God will answer every one of your prayers. It will be according to God's will. God is faithful in his word. God is faithful in his promises. This should be a great encouragement for all Christians, especially for these Thessalonian believers that were undergoing extreme persecution. Paul reminds them that God is faithful. The Lord is faithful to establish us in his word and guard us from the evil one. I understand the word guard translates a Greek word that often describes military protection against an assault. The best protection against the evil one is standing firm in the word of God. God is faithful in everything he says. Lamentations 3:22-23, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful in everything. In regard to creation, Psalm 119:90 says, you establish the earth and it abides. Maybe look around us, the different seasons. We wouldn't have some of our extreme cold. We would never appreciate all our nice days. You establish the earth and it abides. Deuteronomy 7:9. Speaking of his promises, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:18, but as God is true, God is faithful. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. God is faithful in salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. God is faithful in temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with all temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God knows what suffering is about. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. 1 Peter 4:19. I love 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Whether you believe the word of God or not, God is still faithful. And his word is still truth. I'm sure if I sat down with each one of you individually and asked how God has been faithful to you, I'm sure many of you could share. Think back to the days leading up to the start of our ministry, back in 2009. I remember when it was announced in church that we were going to have elections, and I knew that God had called me. And I wondered why. Why me? A man of few words. Poor education. And I struggled. I wrestled with that for weeks. It burdened my heart. And I often questioned God, why? I remember driving down Taylor Street. My heart was burdened, and I drove past this church, and this sign that stood out, I'll never forget this. The sign says that God has not called the qualified, he will qualify the called. I don't know why I was driving down Taylor, but it's like God just steered my vehicle in that direction. I'm sure you all have your experiences where you would be able to say that God is faithful. The Apostle Paul says in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The Apostle Paul is telling these Thessalonian Christians that God is faithful. He will establish you and guard you from the evil one. We have to remember that these Christians were going through great persecution. The devil was trying to stop the spread of Christianity and was trying to get them to believe all these false teachers and these false reports that were circulating. Anything to distract them from the true gospel. And Paul is showing them where they can find victory. The point is, no matter what you're facing, when you're abiding in Jesus and his word is in you, God will protect and strengthen you. We know, even though the devil rules this present evil world, the Bible says that greater is he that is in you, speaking of the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world. He goes on in verse 4, he says, we have confidence in the Lord, touching or concerning you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Paul knew that the Lord would fulfill his purpose for this Thessalonian church, because the Thessalonians, they were already practicing what he had commanded. And he encouraged them to keep obeying the Lord. The Lord's faithfulness to these Thessalonian believers in the past persuaded Paul that God would faithfully complete the same work with their lives in the future. And he knew that Paul's confidence did not lie with the Thessalonians, but rather in God, because Paul could see God working in them. We We have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you both do and will do the things which we command you. God doesn't just pour spiritual maturity and stability in us. He works it in and through us and through our cooperation and our obedience with his will. So it is with people around us. You can soon tell if someone is sincere about the gospel. You can tell if someone wants to learn about God. You can tell if someone believes that all scripture is the inspired word of God. Although Paul had no occasion to question these Thessalonians or their faithfulness, he still reminded them of their commitment. He was referring to what he had taught them concerning salvation and the Christian life when Paul and his missionary team had planted the church. This wasn't just personal advice, but rather commandments from the Lord. In verse 5 of my text, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Paul prayed that Jesus Christ would open up a way for the readers to obey out of appreciation of God's love for them, and as well as increasing endurance in all their trials. Meditation on the love of God and the patient endurance of Christ should motivate us to obey his word and to endure trials patiently. The word direct means clear away the obstacles. In this case here with the Thessalonian believers, any barriers to their spiritual growth. It was also used in 1 Thessalonians 3:11. I know each one of you here have your burdens and trials that you face. And how is it for you? Are you turning to the Lord daily for strength? God is the only one who can change things. The only one who can give strength to go on. And he's the only one that can change your heart and mind and conform it to the image of Jesus Christ. Just think, if we never went through a trial, what kind of a person would I be? What kind of a person would you be if we would never go through any trials? We would be miserable and ungrateful, unthankful. Just as Paul reminded these Thessalonian believers to be faithful, and he reminded them of God, who is always faithful, I want to encourage each one of you this morning. May the Lord give you strength to live for him each and every day. May he give you the strength to face whatever comes your way. And may your desire be to love and obey him. Please bow with me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we are forever grateful for your faithfulness. We are so grateful for your promises. Lord, I pray for each one here this morning, Lord, that we would continually be in your word, that your word would teach us. And Lord, no matter what trial comes our way, that we would see it as an opportunity to give glory to you, that the trial would not make us bitter. Father, I thank you for your love and your faithfulness. Lord, I want to pray for many in our congregation that are going through difficult times. There were some that were mentioned already, Father, but I pray, Lord, that you know every heart here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would give strength to each one, that you would give healing. Be with those that are sick, Father. May you uplift them. May they be encouraged by your word. May we all be encouraged by being together with fellow believers, as this is how you want it. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to pray for one another. Lord, may we be encouraged in that, and may we just continually pray for one another. Lord, I also pray for Pastor Lloyd. I pray for continued healing. Lord, it's a miracle that he's here and he's doing so much better. And the healing that you've given him so far, Father, we thank you for that. May you continue to heal him. Lord, now your will be done. And I pray that you would give him the strength and the grace to go on each and every day. And I pray for Jane and the family that you would be with them as well. Father, there's many others, and you know every burden, every heart, and I just pray that you would take care of us. And Lord, may we be encouraged. May we continually look up. Every second, every minute that goes by, every hour is one day closer to you coming back. Father, and I thank you for that promise that you're coming back again, that we may be where you are. Lord, may that encourage each one. And may we have a zeal and a desire to share the word with those we come in contact with. I pray that you would bind the hands of the enemy. Lord, may you give us strength to be a light to those around us. Lord, I also thank you for all our baptism candidates, Father. We know that the devil is always working. I just pray that you would protect them, Lord, and as they go through the lessons and they desire to go through with baptism, Father, I pray that you would give them strength, that you would give them joy, and as they read and study your word, that you would enlighten their eyes and that they would want to follow you. Father, may you go with them. And I thank you for each one that has come forth. May you bless this morning as only you can. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail. By the living word of God I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect rest and cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love. Lord, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God.
I want to encourage each one this morning, as the Apostle Paul, he encouraged these Thessalonian believers to pray for one another and be encouraged that God is faithful. I want to encourage each one of you just to keep praying for one another. Prayer is powerful. We need each other. And I also want to encourage each one of you to be in the Word. We live in a day and age where we have access to so much information. And as the end draws near, and we know we have an enemy who wants to deceive, and I ask you this morning what you're reading. Is it truth? God's word is truth. There is no error in his word. And I would encourage you to be in his word, to read his word and study his word. May the Lord give you strength to live for him each day and strength to face whatever comes your way. May your desire be to obey him. I want to thank each one of you for coming this morning. Thank you for your prayers. It's so good to see you. Thank you for the songs that were chosen. Very encouraging. I close with a benediction found in Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Thank you for coming, and may God's peace and protection go with each one of you. You're dismissed.